My dad finished college in California, drove cross country back to Miami, and then did something that still doesn't make sense to me. He already had the job, his dad's business back home, plan was set, and he still left with two surfboards and a guitar small enough to fit in an overhead bin and a set of plane tickets to the Philippines, Indonesia, Australia, and Fiji. He came back in the summer and went to work, but the person who showed up was not the same one who left. I'm 17, I don't have much figured out either, and I need to know what he was actually looking for out there and whether he found it or not. My name is Rio Costa, and this is Two Boards and a Guitar. Before the trip, my dad had a plan, college in California, his dad's plant business back in Miami, a clear next step with a name on the door and someone waiting for him. Then during college, he did a semester abroad in Australia, and on the way home, the travel agent at USC told him he could add New Zealand and Fiji for about $75. He said yes, 8 days in New Zealand, 2 weeks in Fiji, and he came back with something he could not name yet. So who were you at 21, and what was the plan before any of this?
Well, at 21, I had just graduated college. I'd had that experience while I was in college of traveling, and so I think I was just seeking adventure at that point, exploration. I love surfing. I was kind of trying to learn to play the guitar, and so I embarked on this journey, and it did change my life forever.
So my dad graduated in the fall, drove cross country from Los Angeles to Miami with the surfboards, already in the guitar, worked for a couple months, plans saved, and then he left for real. The semester abroad planted a seed he'd not act on yet, as what follows is what happens when the seed finally grows. The life he thought he was building started to feel like the wrong building, the conventional plan reframed as a structure he never actually chose. I asked him why the surfboards and the guitar, and he said they were just what he loved, two things he actually did, surfing and playing the guitar. He was not performing for anyone, he just brought what was his own. And I think that says everything about who he was at 21. He didn't pack what was useful, but he packed what he loved. The surfboards and guitar are not strategic tools, they're just two things he loved, and that's the point. He chose a trip and built it around what he actually cared about, not what made sense. So what did people tell you? Like, what did people say when you booked the tickets? What did you say about, like, what did you tell yourself when you booked the tickets?
Well, what I told myself was, you know, I wanted to go see more of the world. I thought this was, I had some money saved, and I figured this was the only time I may have this opportunity, being that I was young, didn't have a family, and I had the ability to go and do this travel. Most of the people in Miami thought I was crazy because I was leaving with a backpack, about a week's worth of clothes for 4 months, two surfboards in a bag, and a small guitar. So that's kind of what the setup was there.
So you kind of just went anyways.
Yeah.
So with the first stop in Palawan, Philippines, beaches, boats, and water that looked unreal, and then before he had found his footing, the trip handed him something he was not ready for. So on the ferry from Palawan back to Manila, the man dying from the bends, what was that like?
Yeah, that was a weird experience because, you know, I'd spent a couple weeks kind of going around Palawan to these beautiful beaches on ferries, you know, from one beach to the other, from the south part island to the north part. And basically at the end of that leg of the journey, I had to get back to the main island of Luzon, which is where Manila is. And it was like a 48-hour ferry to get back. And so we were able to board the night before. I was traveling with a couple other Americans I had met. And we were in one section of the boat. But we started hearing a lot of yelling and screaming. And it was basically people crying and wailing. And so it was pretty upsetting, and it was, it was a diver. We found out it was a diver who had the bends, and uh, he he basically died that night in the boat while we're all waiting to leave the next morning. So certainly that was a, you know, kind of a tragic thing, and it was certainly you know, eye-opening.
So do you think that kind of stayed with you in any kind of way?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely kind of shows you, you know, how precious every day is. You know, you can die at any time, and you know, makes you appreciate life a lot more, and you know, every day.
Yeah, I mean, the diver who surfs too fast is kind of the opposite of what you were doing on the whole trip, going slowly, letting things settle, not rushing back up. So, in Indonesia, Lake Peak, Sumbawa, a break called the Periscopes. You're in the water one afternoon, and the swell came out of nowhere. A swell that day, what happened?
So I was in Lake Peak, staying there. I was probably there for a couple weeks. It was an amazing surfing spot, and Periscopes was, you have to walk about 45 minutes down the beach. So I decided to walk down there one day, see what was going on. And there was only one other guy out there, this Australian guy that was also staying at Lakey Peak. And so we were just out there, not a whole lot was going on, but as the tides changed, the swell conditions kicked up. And there were these, Periscopes is a right-hand wave, it's really fast. And I'd tried it a couple times and it wasn't that big, but this time something happened and the waves just started coming through like freight trains, and they were probably like 10, 12 feet, super fast, hard to get into, really challenging. But the one thing I do remember about that day is this crazy Australian guy, he just kept saying, "Perseverance, mate, perseverance, mate." And to this day, I always remember, perseverance is something that has stuck with me the rest of my life, and knowing that no matter what, if you persevere, you will get the fruits of your labor. And so that day we were gifted with these beautiful waves. Even though they were challenging and scary and frightening, it was amazing all at the same time.
So even though the ocean looked calm and you thought you understood it, even though you clearly didn't understand it, you kind of just had to fight your way through it. You think you were scared in any kind of way?
Yeah, it was definitely scary. The waves were really fast, and I never surfed these waves at that size at that place. So it was scary getting into them, it was scary getting back out of there. So it was thrilling, scary, all at the same time, and just, you know, an amazing experience. It felt like a magical experience that I experienced that day, that was almost like something out of a fairy tale or something.
So with the ocean as a teacher that doesn't negotiate and you can't argue with the swell, you respond or you don't make it back in.
That's right, for sure. It's a do or die.
From Indonesia, you went to Australia. You'd been there before on a semester abroad, but this was different. You were different, obviously. You moved through it slower than the first time. Australia on the post-grad trip, what did it feel like coming back, and what did you do there?
Yeah, so, I first went to Sydney, and I stayed with some friends that I had made when I was at my semester abroad there. And So I kind of reconnected with them, hung out a little bit. But yeah, I had already changed because I'd been through that part of the journey on you know, post-Australia, and then graduating high school, and then kind of the Philippines and Indonesia. So I'd kind of already been traveling for 2 months, had a crazy goatee going. These guys, people had never seen me with any facial hair. I hadn't like shaven in 2 months at this point. My hair was kind of all wily. And so, you know, I kind of hung out with my friends there, drank beers with them and whatnot. But then I rented a car, and just like the rest of my trip, I took it slow. So fortunately I got one of my friends there. He had a beach house south of Sydney, and they lent me their beach house. So I kind of hung out there just surfing. It was a surf spot out front of his house, surfed there. And then I went kind of kept driving down towards Melbourne, and kind of surf some spots down there. And so it was pretty mellow. It was different from the first time. You said exactly right. I was moving through it slower and just kind of really taking in the world and exploring. And really it's just a setup for the grand finale in Fiji, to be honest.
So when you got to Fiji and you took the 3-hour boat ride to the small island with the thatch style huts, the people cooking 3 meals a day, you know, when you arrived starving from the crossing and they put a plate of vegetables in front of you, you said you'd never touched before in your life, and you're too hungry to say no. And you also told me that like it was gonna be the day that you tried vegetables since you didn't really have a choice, even though it was obviously different than what you're used to and stuff. The island, the boat, and the vegetables, what the people talked about there, like what was all that kind of like?
Yeah, so you know, so it was a long boat ride to get there. I was on a small boat, maybe 3 hours, and basically the place I went to was basically like an island hostel. It was located in the same island, group of islands, where they were called the Yasawas, and that's where they filmed the Blue Lagoon. So it's actually, you know, amazing, beautiful, picturesque, clear waters, islands, but there's nothing out there. It's just this island with this you know, a small little kind of, call it backpacker resort, that's run by some local Fijians. And so when you get there, they have a snack shop and they cook your 3 meals a day. I had grown up kind of not really liking any vegetables. You know, I was kind of meat and rice kind of guy, and chicken, and, you know, very little vegetables. And I kind of usually would not touch anything with that. But I was so hungry when I got there. Obviously a little older at this point, kind of traveling the world. And so I was so hungry when I saw that plate. I said, well, I think today's the day I'm gonna learn to eat vegetables, because, you know, I'm so hungry and this is the only thing to eat here. There's no store, there's no drive-thru, nothing to go to. So that was basically it. And that kind of started the whole journey there, where not only did I start changing like the way my diet was and kind of looking at healthier alternatives, but that just kind of fueled that, the beginning of that.
Did you see anyone there using plants as medicine or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, yes, definitely the Fijians, they use, they have kava ceremonies. So that's something that, you know, is kind of like more of a, like, I don't know if it's religious, but it's kind of a traditional kind of ceremony. And it's a very relaxing kind of, you know, herb that kind of relaxes you, but they do use a lot of natural things there. I also ran across some other people, on a different island that, basically lived off the grid in Maui, and these people were kind of lived in the jungle and they used plant medicine. So they really kind of really changed my perspective, and that's where I really got kind of intrigued and kind of got some, you know, some book recommendations from there. And that's really what kind of led me to kind of my career change once I moved back.
So you never thought about things like that before?
No, not before I met those people. And really just the way of life in the outer islands of Fiji is very like back to nature. It's like they're almost like, you know, how humans probably used to live hundreds if not thousands of years ago. They fish, they live off the land, they collect, you know, food from the earth and the ocean. And it's really just a different way of life, and that really affected me in a deep way.
So when you came back home, after the trip to work at your dad's business, but obviously you're still having thoughts about the trip, the people, the island, the food, the way they talked about the body, you know, all your experiences, the man on the ferry, how many times you've been humbled, the swell, crowd speaking in languages you didn't know, the plate of vegetables. And once you started studying traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and kind of thinking about the body more, when did you know, like, how did all of it turn into a career?
Yeah, so when I came back from the trip, you know, it's definitely a lot to integrate coming back to the United States. But yeah, experiences like the person dying make you want to, you know, make the most of your life and not let it go to waste. You know, the experiences of kind of seeing how people lived kind of off the land and using kind of more of a natural approach to health and medicine, you know, really started shaping how I started thinking about things. And while I was at college, I had started kind of already become a little interested in Chinese medicine. So that kind of grew more in me. And so at some point, I just felt disconnected with with my father's business at the time, which was ornamental plant industry, was kind of based more on using chemical fertilizers and, you know, fungicides, pesticides, and I was really trying to live a more holistic lifestyle. So I really just kind of really drove me to kind of make a decision to follow my passion and pursue this career, kind of to explore this career in natural medicine and a holistic lifestyle, because that's really what was my passion at the time. So at some point, I kind of spoke with my dad and I said, look, I think I want to follow this career. And, you know, he was supportive, said, I understand. And so basically ended up with me driving cross country back again to California to study Chinese medicine.
So rather than Fiji the island and the Philippines ferry being detours, would you say that the whole trip was kind of like a learning curriculum for something that you just didn't know the name for until you got home?
Yeah, it's almost like when I left for the trip, I was looking for adventure, like, else out in the world, right? And then when I came back, the new adventure really turned into, my new adventure was I didn't want to travel anymore. That was not the adventure I wanted anymore. The new adventure was kind of traveling into a new career, a new journey, a new way of life.
So since I'm 17 and I'm not in college yet, what do you want me to understand from your story, like going into college next year, like in 2 years?
I would say keep an open mind, keep a beginner's mind, always be a learner, explore different explore different things. What you think you know now, you know, may not be what you're gonna end up doing or wanting to do. So I think the most important thing is just to keep an open mind and to continue to grow as a human and individual, and always keep learning.
So you think that maybe for me it's not going backpacking, but I should kind of follow things that I have interest in like that and take detours almost?
Yeah, I think when you're young, you have the opportunity to explore and try different things, whether it's like, you know, trying different business ideas, trying different careers, trying different internships, trying different majors, taking different classes. You know, you have the opportunity when you're young to explore different things and find things that you, you're either passionate about or just really enjoy doing.
So for you, is two surfboards and a guitar, looking for something you couldn't name, and you found a deep passion of yours, and you found it in the places where things went wrong and kind of those tough situations. But I don't know where I'm gonna find it. I don't think that's a bad thing. But do you have any advice on how I kind of find those things, or you just let it come to you?
Yeah, I think as you explore through life, you just gotta keep your eyes open. Learn from all the experiences, the good ones and the bad ones, right? Or kind of things that seem like they're good or seem like they're bad. They're just all different kind of life lessons, things that you learn from. And, that's how you grow and kind of become a more well-rounded individual and continue to find, you know, what is your next step in life.
Yeah, and I think it kind of all comes full circle.
Definitely.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your experiences with me, and I'm excited to kind of find my own experiences and explore the world.
Awesome. Well, it was great to share them with you.